Folding his arms, he curled his lip.
There are no such things as pink bears.
Walking over, Silver looked at the furry thing.
Who does it smell like?
Valentian looked pained, but drew in a breath.
Yasha and Stasia.
Spotting the little bag that hung from the bear's neck, Silver tugged it off. Inside was a handwritten note folded into a small square.
We all thought you might be missing your bear, so we got you a substitute.
Honestly, he's probably just as good to cuddle up with in bed. Plus, his feet aren't boats, and he doesn't snore.
Valentian, who'd come to read over her shoulder, made a loud noise, and picking up the bear, went as if to tear it limb from limb. She touched her hand to his arm, and he stopped.
It's a gift. Don't ruin it.
It's pink.
His chest rumbled.
And it is not as good as me.
She tried to pull the bear from his grasp. He held on.
Valentian!
She tugged again. The stubborn bear refused to let go.
Release this now, or you'll be facing Caleb and Grandmother while holding a pink teddy bear.
So?
He said, but released his hostage at last.
I'm going to dye that bear brown when you're not looking.
Leaving him scowling in the living area, Silver managed to get the plush toy into her bedroom and return right before her grandmother and Caleb teleported in. Valentian still had a glare on his face, but he inclined his head respectfully at Ina.
Grandmother?
His greeting to Caleb was a curt nod.
Krychek. Nikolaev.
Caleb responded in the same vein, sliding his hands into the pockets of his black suit pants, his shirt a simple white.
Grandmother, please sit, Silver said, only taking her own seat once Ina was seated.
Valentian came down on the couch beside her, while Caleb took a seat across from them. Ina sat to their right. They looked at her as one, waiting to hear what she had to say.
I have, she began, completed my meeting with Akshay Patel.
I think you meant to use the word interrogation.
Ina gave Valentian a speaking look.
A meeting is far more civilized.
My apologies.
Valentian said with such perfect politeness, Silver had to check he was the one who'd spoken. Then, as they listened, Ina told them what the CEO had confessed, and what he'd betrayed.
The consortium did have a role to play in this, Ina said toward the end of her briefing. But only in the sense it gave Akshay Patel tools to pull off actions he already wanted to take. The Bowen Knight incident was wholly Akshay and his brother-in-law. He didn't want to involve outsiders in human matters.
Valentian's claws had slid out long ago. When he spoke, his voice was gravel.
Tell me he's dead.
No. He's more useful to us alive.
Chapter 49. Silver stared at Ina.
Grandmother, you're not known for mercy.
A slight understatement,
Caleb said in his usual emotionless way, which terrified people with its very calmness.
For many, the name Ina Merkant is synonymous with the words cold-blooded and ruthless shark.
I believe your picture would also suffice for that dictionary entry,
Ina said without missing a beat. Caleb's smile was faint, but real.
Grandmother,
Valentian said, his body a storm of turbulent energy barely contained.
I respect you, but that bastard tried to murder my mate. He needs to die.
He might be able to give us the consortium.
Her words filled the room with a potent silence, broken only by the noise of play from outside. The apartment was fully soundproofed, but that soundproofing wasn't a default, had to be switched on, since most changelings preferred to live in proximity to others. Silver had never turned it on.
I've had the briefing.
Valentian flexed, then fisted his hands after retracting his claws.
Those bastards don't show each other their faces.
Akshay Patel is extremely paranoid and distrustful.
He's done everything in his power to discover the identity of the individual behind the creation of the consortium. Already he's told me that the one who sits at the center, the spider in control of the web, is a woman.
Interesting.
Caleb leaned back.
You believe him?
A man will do many things to protect his children. Her words were arctic. Whatever his faults, Akshay loves his son and daughter. Caleb didn't move.
How will you control him once he's with his children and able to spirit them into hiding?
Our family's greatest strength is our intelligence work. Ina's words were directed at all of them. Akshay is well aware that wherever he goes, it will never be far enough, and I have given my word that his children will be safe so long as he cooperates with us. Silver could feel Valentian's body vibrating next to her, his shoulders knotted and thighs rigid against the denim of his jeans.
But tell some murdering bastard,
he said in a voice so deep it echoed inside her.
But it's not right to make a man's children pay the price for his crimes.
If he does what we want, that will never be an issue. Ina's eyes were ice when they met Valentian's. He has willingly bargained his freedom for their lives. He's the one who will pay. A pause. You would have taken his life, and the children would have lost their father. Our moral compasses are not so different, Valentian Nikolaev. Hands fisted. Valentian nodded at last.
You're right. But I wouldn't have won his compliance by threatening his children.
He held Ina's gaze with the wild amber of his own.
That line should never be crossed.
Silver had never seen her grandmother back down against anyone. She didn't today, either. But Ina also did not stare Valentian down in the way she did those who didn't have her respect. We have different lines, Valentian, but we both protect those who are our own. Valentian nodded slowly.
I don't like leaving him alive. A man who uses poison, he's not a straight-up kind.
He's broken, Ina said flatly. I made sure of it. He is my puppet. Caleb tapped a finger on his knee, his voice flawless midnight when he spoke. If Silver hadn't seen him with Sahara, and if she didn't know the other woman well enough to understand the passionate way Sahara embraced life, she too would have believed him wholly without heart.
Can he actually be useful to us?
Caleb's cardinal eyes were unreadable.
If he starts betraying consortium plans, they'll know they have a mole.
How we use him will require careful thought. But this is the closest we've come to the consortium since they shied away after making initial contact with me, Ina said. Silver, you'll undertake tracking their communication methods.
I've already sent word to our people.
Three of her family had trained in covert online operations.
They're working on it now, but the setup is clever, and the consortium could switch to a different chat room without warning, should the individual behind the group once again utilize physical letters to achieve that aim. We'll be right back where we started.
Understood.
We should ask for Arrow assistance,
Caleb said.
Unearthing the consortium is a shared goal.
I'll contact them,
Silver said without asking her grandmother. Ina had long ago given Silver carte blanche over network operations, but that wasn't the topic at the forefront of her mind.
Grandmother, you must make a promise.
Even as she spoke, she ran her hand down Valentian's back, over the rigid knots of his muscles. Her grandmother's gaze took in the placement of Silver's hand.
Ask. Whatever happens, Akshay Patel's children are not to be harmed.
She made her tone as implacable as Ina's had been.
He can keep on believing the same, but you are not to follow through on your threat.
Ina Merkant is not known for making toothless threats.
It was my life he tried to end,
Silver said.
I make the call.
Valentian's head turned toward her, his muscles unbunching under her touch. Ina looked at her for a long time. Silver didn't flinch. Finally, Her grandmother inclined her head.
So be it. I won't harm the man's children. But should he step out of line, his life is forfeit. Does anyone disagree with that decision?
Silver held her silence. Valentian didn't.
Silver fucking Merchant,
he said.
Granddaughter of Ina fucking Merchant.
A grin at Silver.
Do I want to meet your mama, Starlight?
Those particular genes skipped a generation, Ina said coolly. I have no argument with the Arrows knowing of the chat room, but the information about how we came by that data needs to be kept within a very small circle. The fewer the number of people who know Akshay Patel is ours, the lower the chances someone will let it slip.
I haven't shared it with our own tech team, Silver said. They don't need to know to chase the communication channels.
Lucas Hunter and Aiden Kai need to know,
Valentian said.
None of us would be aware of the consortium without them.
The resulting discussion was over quickly. The highly selective short list arrived at after mutual agreement. It was at the end of the meeting that Ina said,
Walk with me, Silver. Show me this complex.
Silver had no trouble standing up to her grandmother when required, but she also understood that certain orders were to be followed.
Of course, grandmother. You're welcome to stay the night here if you wish, she added. I may do that.
Ina looked at Caleb as they all rose.
Thank you for the assistance.
Caleb nodded, then glanced at Valentian and Silver.
Sahara,
he said,
has invited you both to dinner next Friday.
You look like you'd rather chew nails,
Valentian remarked with a very bearish gleam in his eye.
My mate, as changelings term her, is insistent I learn to socialize.
How's that going for you?
Caleb slid his hands into the pockets of his suit pants.
It makes Sahara happy.
The simple answer had Valentian holding out a hand.
No further explanation needed.
Caleb, who rarely made physical contact with anyone aside from Sahara, shook it. He was gone the next second, a cardinal telekinetic of such power that teleportation took less than a heartbeat. But despite Caleb's power, it was Valentian's wild charisma that made Silver's body hum with a primal awareness. He tugged on a strand of her hair.
I'm going to see the clanmates who live here.
His irises were onyx again, but rimmed by amber, and he looked at her as if he wanted to eat her alive. The hurt she'd seen in his eyes, it was gone, erased by an emotion so huge it demanded that she feel in return. His bear's fur rubbed inside her skin. Her heart slammed into her ribcage. Memories that had once been flat suddenly taking on color and texture and depth. She wet her throat. We'll talk later.
Kiss me later,
he dared in a whisper for her ears alone.
Prove you can keep your distance. Prove you're silent.
It wasn't a playful challenge. It was deadly serious. Ina didn't say anything until they were outside, strolling along one of the gently curved walkways.
You made a request of me for Valentian's sake.
He's my mate. The possessive claim was instinctive, and it ran bone deep.
I've decided to have children with him.
Her grandmother took her time answering.
An intelligent choice. It will strengthen your position as the head of MNET. Pity Valentian doesn't have human blood or you'd have the trifecta.
Grandmother, you have human blood. As do I. Ina came to a full stop, looked at Silver with an unblinking expression.
Of course I do, she said after almost 30 seconds. And the reason for glossing over that fact no longer exists.
She began to walk again, her calf-length coat a camel shade that suited the copper of her tunic and wide-legged pants.
I will allow it to leak that your great-grandfather was a human engineer who chose to remain with his wife even after silence came into effect,
and she did everything in her power to subjugate her emotions. The idea of true love running in the Merkant line will further boost your credibility with the emotional races, while your track record will reassure the Silent.
I did some research as a teenager. Silver stopped herself from looking over to where Valentian was no doubt roughhousing with their clanmates. I believe your parents did indeed experience true love. They were together since they were 15, and she was 25 when Silence went into effect. Too old for Silence to ever truly take. Ina had been, for that time period, a late-in-life baby.
My parents were never disciplined for breaching the protocol, her grandmother said. I certainly never witnessed anything of the kind.
Yes, but when I dug through the physical archives below your residence, a place Silver had spent a lot of time as a teen, Ina, the only one in the family who could teach her the telepathic skills she needed to know, I found an old diary kept by a human relative who maintained bonds with them throughout her life.
That would be my Aunt Rose, my father's youngest sister. She bequeathed me her estate.
I always wondered how the diary ended up in the archives, Silver said before continuing on with her original topic. Rose wrote that though the two followed the rules of silence in the hope it would help their violently psychic children, they shared the same bedroom all their lives. Ina nodded thoughtfully.
For me, that was simply the way it was in the family. I never thought to question it through the lens of silence. I know for certain they slept in twin single beds, a foot of distance between them.
Yes, Silver said. But according to Rose, when they died, Ina's parents had died at the same time, though only her father had suffered a long illness. They were discovered holding hands, as if they'd reached out to one another in their final moments. As a teen, Silver had been intrigued by the report, but she hadn't actually understood the gift of love and the sacrifice of her ancestors' lives. That she did today told her a lot about her own emotional state and the choices she had to make. Her grandmother's voice broke into her thoughts.
I was never told that. It would have been erased from any official record.
A heartbeat before Ina spoke again.
You should digitize the relevant parts of the diary if you haven't already. Your great-grandparents' love story will make excellent media fodder.
I'll get you the whole diary. Silver saw nothing wrong with Ina's request, or with how mercenary it sounded. Her grandmother had been protecting the family for decades. All her thoughts were about how to achieve that aim. Grandmother.
Yes?
Now that silence has fallen, are you ever tempted to experience emotion?
Temptation is an emotion,
Ina said, her voice as difficult to read as always.
I would, however, choose to experience it, for the simple reason that information is power. Ignorance is the opposite. The problem, of course, is that emotion and silence are not things that can be switched on and off. To become silent is a long and arduous process. Emotion is naturally chaotic.
The words made Silver think of the foam balls that had been thrown around the play area that day, of how the cubs had gleefully attacked Valentian. She wondered if the exhausted cubs had curled up into furry, snoring balls on the ride back with Anastasia and Yakov, or if they'd found a second wind and the ride had been full of noise and belly laughter.
I have a request of Valentian, Ina said without warning. Let us speak to him.
Dangerously ready to see Valentian again, despite how problematic he was to her equilibrium, Silver accompanied her grandmother to the central green space. The wolves had all left, perhaps because there were too many bears, or perhaps so the bears who lived in the city could be free with their alpha. Silver had noticed that though the two sides were never friendly, they were respectful. It was the only way a complex like this would work.
It appears we have a problem.
Her grandmother came to a stop on the edge of the path, just before the grass. Silver went to ask what, then realized it.
Oh, Valentian is that very large one with the scar on his left ear.
She pointed him out where he sat in the center, his clanmates around him. The physical description had been for Ina's benefit. Silver knew Valentian, whatever his form. The bears here don't see him as often as those in Denholm.
I will take but a moment of his time.
Her grandmother stepped onto the grass and walked straight toward Valentian, ignoring the other large bears in her path. They, in turn, lumbered out of her way when she would have otherwise had to go around them. As Valentian had said more than once, her grandmother was an alpha. She demanded respect by her simple presence. Silver, too, was an alpha personality, but when she stepped onto the grass to make her way to Valentian so she could hear what her grandmother intended to ask him, the bears didn't get out of her path. They came to her instead. One mid-sized bear leaned up against her, would have pushed her over without meaning to if she hadn't set her feet apart to steady her balance, and if she didn't already have another bear on her other side, his warmth heavy against her. Her hands rose, rested on their fur. They leaned a little deeper into her. She stroked. It was her responsibility as Valentian's mate to see to the welfare of clanmates who needed contact from their alpha pair. When she lifted her gaze, she found the largest bear in the clan looking at her. The sense of pride that burned in those eyes was a rough kiss. The connection broke only because Ina had reached him. He turned to her grandmother, listened to whatever she had to say, then gave a single nod. Ina inclined her head in return and began to walk back. When she reached Silver, she said,
"I will be accompanying Valentian to Denholm. I wish to see where my grandchildren will spend much of their time."
"Much? I don't think Valentian would trust his cubs out of his sight."
"He will when they are with me."
Silver had no argument to that. Her grandmother's ethics might not be Valentian's or Silver's, but she knew how to protect children of the family.
"I'll come with you," she said, without having thought about what she was about to propose. "My deputy has things well under control, and I need to reconnect with my clanmates."
Her grandmother made no comment on Silver's choice.
"I will walk until your mate is ready to leave."
The bears who'd been pressing into Silver stepped away, as if aware she needed to walk with her grandmother. She and Ina didn't speak much as they walked, but they reached an understanding nonetheless. When Valentian drove them to Denholm, the ride was quiet, the words Silver had to say to Valentian a heaviness that pulsed. It was time to end this. Chapter 50.
The choice we make at the fork in the road can define our very existence.
Lord Darren Merchant, circa 1506.
"Tell me of your family, Valentian," Ina said from the back seat of Valentian's large vehicle. "It is surprisingly difficult to research changeling clans. You keep your records off any major network."
Silver saw Valentian's shoulders bunch, went to head off her grandmother, but he caught her eye, shook his head. And then he told Ina the dark secret of his clan. He contained his pain behind a gritty control until he spoke of his mother.
"She wanders the wild, a bear who will never be at peace."
A hard swallow, his hurt so apparent to Silver it was as if he were inside her.
"When Nova had Dima, I spotted her lingering close by, brought him out for her to see, but she disappeared into the trees before I could reach her. I've seen her near the den recently, but for all intents and purposes, she is lost to us."
Ina asked penetrating questions. Valentian answered all of them.
"What will you do with our secrets, grandmother?"
he said softly at the end.
"What do you think, Valentian?"
He smiled through the echo of a terrible series of events that had scarred his huge heart, but not changed its warmth or ability to love.
"I think you'll bury them in that same deep, dark hole where you bury Merchant's secrets. We're family now, and family protects. It never harms."
I have always appreciated your intelligence,
Ina said regally.
Now, tell me about this Pavel individual who is distracting Arwen from his duties.
Chuckling, Valentian shook his head.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
Neither am I, Silver said before Ina could ask. If you wish to poke into Arwen's private life, Grandmother, you are on your own. Valentian's hand lifted as if to play with her hair, his fingers curling into his palm halfway as he pulled back. It didn't matter. The raw power of his presence, his dare an invisible visitor between them, it wrapped her up in possessive arms. She felt as if she were vibrating within by the time they arrived at Denholm. She walked into the cavern to find it relatively quiet. It was soon apparent why. An exhausted ball of cubs, some in bear form, some in human, lay in the center, snoring in short bursts. Clanmates walked around them, throwing them the odd smile, but otherwise not worried about their choice of sleeping position. Someone had managed to get a thick rug under them, so they were well cushioned at least. She saw Nova bend down to pet one, causing the cub to smile in her sleep. That was when the healer saw Silver. Welcome lit up her whole face.
Silver!
She ran over, her feet clad in deep blue heels, her dress a vibrant cerise, and her hair precisely curled.
It's so good to see you.
A hug before Nova jerked back.
Oh, I forgot.
Silver touched her hands to Nova's. It's all right, Nova. The warmth of the other woman's skin against hers, it didn't feel wrong. And her heart, it felt so strange inside her chest.
I'd like you to meet my grandmother.
Grandmother, this is Nova, the clan's chief healer.
Grandmother,
Nova said respectfully.
You are most welcome.
Ina received the same response no matter which part of Denholm she visited, until they reached Sergei. The older bear was helping build a bed in the area of Denholm set aside for carpentry and other such projects. He held Ina's stare without welcome.
Come to see how the lesser races live?
Your low opinion of your own race is not my concern,
Ina said, cold as ice. Sergei narrowed his eyes, then threw back his head and laughed a big bear laugh of which Silver wouldn't have believed him capable.
That'll teach me to poke a bear straight out of hibernation.
He swept out his arm in a wave.
Would you like a tour of our workshop?
Ina took her time answering.
I suppose, she said, a bear of your years is apt to have at least some useful knowledge. You may proceed.
Silver felt a living warmth at her back as Ina and Sergei walked off deeper into the cavernous space.
He seems in a far better mood.
Even though he had baited Ina, the man had given Silver a welcoming glance. Curving his hand over his hip, his chest brushing her shoulders, Valentian said,
I'm his alpha. He needed to understand that and accept it. We had a discussion. It's done.
By discussion, do you mean a fight?
His chuckle vibrated against her, the heat of him sinking into her to warm parts she hadn't known were cold.
Since your grandmother is a guide, do you want to catch up with your clanmates? Nova and the others are making drinks so you can sit and chat.
Shifting on her heel, Silver looked at the hard edges of his face, touched her hand to that thick black hair he never bothered to comb, felt her heart squeeze. Valentian. He lowered his head, his hair rough and tumbled.
Starlight.
A ragged word. She touched her fingers to his lips, saw her hand was trembling.
Who are you to me?
Yours,
he said.
I'm yours.
An hour later, Nova showed Silver into her old room. Ina had made the unexpected decision to stay at Denholm overnight, so Silver didn't have to return to Moscow, especially since she could hook into MNET systems using her devices or the Stonewater network. The latter she knew she could trust. To these bears, she was half of their alpha pair. No one would treat her as an enemy. No one would spy on her. No one would do anything but defend her to their last breath. And Valentian. He'd die to keep her safe. She felt that knowledge in the very core of her being, as if she were inside his mind, inside his soul.
"I made sure all the clothes you left in Denholm stayed in good condition," Nova told her. "I figured you could change here, and then if you and Mishka..."
A sudden pause, her smile fading.
"I don't know what to do or say. Mates are usually for life, unless one dies."
"He's still mine," Silver said at once. "He told me so himself." A dangerous edge to her that Silver had never before seen, Nova said,
"Don't break my brother's heart, Silver. He's a big lug, but where you're concerned, that heart of his, it's like glass. You could shatter it with a few careless words."
The visual was an unforgiving one, shards of glass crimson with Valentian's blood lying at her feet.
"I would never hurt Valentian."
The words came out hard, a rebuke as brutal as Nova's words. Nova's eyes went amber, searched Silver's face.
"You still love him," she whispered. "My God, Silichka, even though they cut into your brain, even though they rewired you, you held on to him. Oh, no wonder Mishka calls you Silver fucking Merchant."
Silver didn't answer the healer, but after Nova left, she exited her bedroom and looked until she spotted Peter. Making her way to the quiet male after ensuring Nova and Stasia were nowhere nearby, she said,
"Petya."
A suspicious scowl.
"Why are you calling me Petya? You always call me Peter."
"You asked me to call you Petya."
"But you never do."
"I'm doing it now."
"Why?"
"Bears." Deciding not to go any further down that rabbit hole, she said, "Will Valentian return soon?" He'd made it a point to find her after dinner, tell her that he had to go speak with Selenka. In his gaze had been an unhidden need that clawed at her, his love worn openly, though she might yet kick at it. He wasn't budging in that love, wasn't building walls behind which he'd be safe, wasn't doing anything but inviting her back into his warmth, despite the pain she'd caused him. Alpha bear he might be, but he had no self-protective instinct when it came to the people he loved. If he wouldn't protect himself, she'd do it for him. That was why she'd hunted out Peter.
"Valya? I'm guessing he'll be back in 2 hours."
Hazel eyes watched her, Peter the most difficult to read of all the seconds.
"Why?"
"I need you to take me to Galina Ivanova."
No change in Peter's expression.
"Why do you think I can track her?"
"You're one of Valentian's best friends," she said, gaze resolute. "You keep an eye on her because it matters to him and his sisters."
Folding his arms, he looked bare stubborn for a second before admitting,
"We all do. Inara spotted her 100 meters from Denholm earlier today."
Flinty eyes.
"If you get hurt, Valya will tear off my head and stomp on it."
"I'm a high-level telepath, Petya. I can smash back a rampaging bear."
It had stunned the bear, but it wouldn't do harm unless she literally sought to kill. Psi couldn't breach changeling shields, but they could kill changelings with a massive psychic surge.
"Ahem."
"And of course," Silver added at that pointed cough from the bear in front of her, "I'll have your big, strong self with me." Scowling at her, Peter nonetheless snuck her out of Denholm and into the trees.
"You won't be able to approach her,"
he said in the soft dark green of the trees, the sky above dotted with stars.
She doesn't even let Dima close, and he's her only grandson.
Leave that to me. Silver had things she wanted to say to Galina Ivanova. A glance from Peter, his eyes glowing a faint amber in the darkness.
You could wipe the floor with me, couldn't you?
What do you think? She asked, steel and ice in her tone.
I think,
he said with unexpected solemnity.
My Alpha chose well.
He raised his hand a second later, then put his finger to his lips. Nodding, Silver tried to walk in his footsteps so she'd avoid crunching a branch or making any other noise. He stopped 5 minutes later and, hunkering down, pointed into the darkness. Silver didn't have changeling night vision. It took her a full minute to see the outline of a bear seated under the branches of a tree with a large canopy. She put her hand on Peter's shoulder, whispered so low she could barely hear herself. I need privacy. He looked outraged. Putting his hand to his hair, he pulled up the strands and drew a line across his throat, demonstrating what Valentian would do to him if she got hurt. Having half expected that response, Silver dug out the earplugs she'd requisitioned from the medical supplies while Nova was away from the infirmary. Peter scowled when she held them out, but put them in his ears. Now he'd be able to see her, but not hear her conversation with Galina. She rose to her feet, stepped forward, deliberately making a noise. The sleeping bear woke, her head jerking up. She began to lumber to her feet seconds later.
Do not run, Silver said flatly. I'm an extremely strong telepath. I will slam you into unconsciousness as many times as it takes.
It wasn't that easy, of course, but Ina had taught her that sometimes belief was all about projection. She set her feet apart and stared into the wild amber eyes facing her, daring the other woman to defy her. When the bear rumbled at her, she folded her arms.
Try it, Silver said softly. I will put you flat, then I'll tie you up and drag you to Denholm.
The bear just stared at her. As well it might. Silver was currently a tiny percentage of its overall weight, but it was listening, and it hadn't run. Nostrils flaring, it suddenly jerked forward before stilling. Behind her, she felt Peter ready himself, but he held back when the bear froze.
Yes, Silver said softly. I'm your Mishka's mate.
She used the pet name deliberately as a reminder of the boy whose heart this woman was breaking every day that she wandered out here.
I've also had enough of this bullshit.
She spit on the ground for emphasis, the act not natural to her, but in a negotiation, every move counted.
You're in pain, I understand that, she said in the same hard tone. But that does not give you permission to brutalize your children's hearts.
Never again did Silver want to see that pain in Valentian, his big body held so fiercely rigid as he contained his emotions.
Get out of sight or come in, she said flatly. Those are your only choices.
Bear faces might be hard to read, but Silver had been around them long enough to know this one was as outraged as Peter had just been.
If I see you lingering around Denholm but not coming in, if I so much as hear a report from a sentry that you've been spotted, I will track you and I will put you down. Is that understood?
Of course Silver wasn't about to murder Valentian's mother, but this was a hard-headed bear she was trying to reach. It required tough talk.
Your children's wounds need to heal, Silver continued. Each time they see you and you turn away from them, it rips the scabs wide open. Enough!
She sliced out her hand. The bear actually scrambled back.
If you want to wallow in your pain, you do that, but you do not get to hurt Valentian or his sisters.
She took a step forward. The bear backed away.
The next time I see you, Silver said in her most icy tone, you'd better be walking into Denholm.
Shifting on its paws, The bear turned and lumbered off into the trees.
These earplugs don't work that well, you know,
Peter said softly from behind her. She shot him a flinty look. Say a word and I'll bury you beside her. A rare grin from this reserved bear.
You're the scariest woman I've ever met. I think I'm in love with you.
Bears. Let's get back. As they made their way through the forest, Peter said,
You've taken a risk.
It was quiet.
They hurt seeing her, but they also need to know she's all right.
Silver knew that. She also knew that Stonewater Bears would have never called Galina Ivanova on her behavior. Valentian, with his big heart, would have never been so pitiless. He looked after the people he loved. He'd looked after Silver even after she hit his heart with blow after blow. She's a bear, Petya. You really think she'll listen to me if she wants to see her children?
Huh.
He ran a hand through the sunset of his hair.
Never knew a mama bear to let anyone stop her seeing her cubs, but you did say some pretty harsh things.
They needed to be said. She didn't think Galina was manipulating her children and clanmates on purpose, but she was doing it. If Silver had to face her down again and again until the other woman understood the damage she was doing, so be it. No one was allowed to hurt Valentian. Not even Silver. Chapter 51.
Love is no rose. It's a goddamn weed that digs its roots in so deep there's no hope of getting it out.
Nina Valance, human novelist married to a telekinetic, circa 1977. Silver and Peter made it back 15 minutes before Valentian returned. Having gone to her room to dress for bed, Silver waited another 10 minutes before leaving that room and going next door to Valentian's. She pushed open the door without knocking because he was hers and she had every right to go in. He was standing shirtless in front of the bed, his hands on his hips and his hair damp from a recent shower that scented the air with soap. Wearing blue jeans on his lower half, he was staring at three different shirts laid out on the mattress, one white, one black, the third a steely blue.
Why are you getting dressed? Silver asked, closing the distance between them.
He'd gone motionless the instant she entered, watched without moving as she picked up the blue shirt.
Put on this one.
Shaking it out, she walked around behind him and helped him shrug it on, smoothing her hands over the muscled breadth of his shoulders before she came around to the front.
You didn't answer my question.
I'm planning our next date.
He raised a hand, caught a lock of her unbound hair, tugged it gently closer.
I need to have a swanky outfit for that.
She didn't offer to button his shirt for him, though the strip of skin and crisp hair on his chest was highly distracting.
What are we doing that requires formal clothing?
A dinner date at a fancy restaurant.
I would suggest we swap that date for a different one.
Valentian folded his arms, jaw set.
No trickery.
Let's exchange naked skin privileges.
Valentian ripped off his shirt so fast she heard fabric tear. She was on her back on the bed the next second, a bear in human form looking down at her.
Done,
he said, but froze with his hand halfway down her side.
Hold on. Is this Silver and Valentian wild monkey skin privileges? Or is this biological exchange of fluids so we can create the cub skin privileges?
She felt the tremor in his body, heard the hope twined with fear in his voice, and knew, no matter what, there was no turning back. Hurting Valentian was simply not acceptable to any part of her.
This is Silver tasting Valentian all over again.
Breasts aching and her core hot, she touched her hand to his cheek, things unfurling inside her for which she had no name.
This act, it's so raw, so primal, so intimate.
I need to know if I have the capacity to process it along the new pathways in my brain. Valentian's heart pounded like a bass drum. Sliding his hand under Silver's head, he pressed his face against the side of hers as his body shook. She'd come to him. They'd rewired her brain, and still she'd come to him. He could work with that. She wove her hand into his hair, wrapped her legs around him in an open possessiveness that gripped his heart tight. Volusia, you're shaking. He kissed her, hot and deep and full of all the love he'd had to contain while she woke from her long sleep. He'd missed her so much. Crushing her to him, he told himself to slow the fuck down, to not rut on her like a damn feral bear. But then Silver licked her tongue against his, and he had no hope in hell of doing that. He tore off her clothes. She didn't give him a cool stare and remind him that clothes cost money. Her body arched under his, her skin flushing a creamy rose. He kissed his way down her throat, over her right breast to her nipple. When he bit, she pulled hard at his hair. He shuddered, did other bad things to her. His tongue in her pussy made her scream. His fingers digging into her butt had her fighting him for control. His stubble rubbing against her breasts had her locking her legs so tight around him that he felt owned.
Fuck, I missed you.
Silver didn't speak. She scratched at him. She bit him. And then she pushed at his shoulders until he let her be on top. He took the chance to squeeze her ass as she undid his pants. Drunk on her scent, he gave up on the momentary good behavior and hauled her up with a single powerful motion to press his lips to her pussy once again. She gave another little scream. Valentian was more than strong enough to hold her in place while he lapped her up like honey. She came so hard her body shuddered. He would have kept going forever if his cock hadn't been a stone rod in danger of snapping in half if he didn't get inside her. Throwing her limp body onto the bed beside him, he tore off his pants and underwear and rose over her. One hand on her breast, he squeezed, fondled, branded.
"Mine,"
said the bear. He didn't realize he'd spoken the guttural word aloud until Silver's eyes gone that mysterious dark, locked onto his mouth. Still fondling her breast, he kissed her. Not gentle and lover-like, uncivilized and bear-like. Releasing her breast only so he could stroke down her body to grip her hip, he bit at her lower lip before rising above her.
Are you wet enough for me?
She spread her thighs for him, her hands on her knees and her core slick. His brain lost all thought. He sank into her in a single thick thrust, gathering her close and crushing her to him as he filled her body with his. But as her arms and legs came around him while her pussy clamped down on his cock, he was the one who was claimed. By Silver fucking Merchant. It wasn't the skin privileges, Silver said to him sometime later, his well-satisfied mate lying with her head on his shoulder, her hair sweeping across him. He, of course, had his hand on her butt. Why the hell not when she was naked in bed with him and he was sweaty from being totally and utterly wrung dry? He play-growled.
Sure felt like naked skin privileges to me.
Silver stayed lax against him, pure, satisfied female. He smiled, smug. Okay, yes, he'd lost it and rutted on her exactly like a feral bear, but he'd also made her come 3 times. Not his best effort, but he planned to make up for it. He slid his hand from her ass to between her legs, cupped her.
Are you sore?
You are rather well endowed, but the ache is one I like. He kept his hand right where it was. Possessive? Him?
What were you talking about before I got distracted by how soft you are?
He ran his fingers through her folds.
And how good you smell.
Rolling over onto her, he nuzzled and bit at her neck. Silver pulled at his hair again to make him pay attention. His displeased rumbling had 0 effect on her. His mate would never fear him. His bear swaggered around like an asshole, pleased with his choice of this strong, sexy woman.
"I've been feeling more and more," she said, her eyes locked to his. "And I've been trying to justify my responses in various ways."
Valentian couldn't hide his hurt.
"Why would you do that, Starlight?"
Her hand on his jaw, a petting caress.
"Don't you understand, Valusha? I was justifying it to be with you, to do things with you. I couldn't explain why when my emotions were meant to be gone."
"Bears are stubborn fools,"
he said with a baring of his teeth.
"The mating bond wasn't about to let go."
It was anchored in a part of the psyche so primal, even the operation couldn't sever it.
"Neither was I. You're mine."
Flat, no room for argument. Hurt retreated under a wave of smug pleasure.
"I want no confusion about that."
Silver's fingers gripped his jaw hard.
"I want no one believing we might not be a unit, not our clan, not your family, not mine, and never ever you."
Her gaze was pure steel.
"If that means embracing emotion, so be it."
Happy as he was, Valentian worried.
"Your audio telepathy?"
"Non-existent, though I've clearly reaccessed my emotions far faster than anyone could have predicted."
Playing with his hair again, Valentian's dangerous, beautiful mate said,
"I've always had a sense of it at the back of my mind. That sense is gone."
"And physical contact?"
he asked, remembering how she'd overloaded in his arms.
"Not just skin privileges with me, but tactile contact with the clan. Since you and I, we're forever."
It was hard to breathe through the joy crashing through him.
"We need to protect you from overloading."
"There's no need," Silver replied. "My time in Denholm taught me that I can manage the impact. Our bears are baffled by, but respectful of, a clanmate who needs time alone now and then."
Fingers still in his hair, her touch proprietary.
"And I have a strong feeling the mating bond helps too. We balance each other."
Valentian's happiness threatened to explode out of his skin.
"I can't wait to grow old with you, and to see you turn into a hardass like Ina."
She didn't smile.
"I hurt you. I'm sorry."
Not liking the pained guilt on her face, he shifted onto his back again and hauled her up on his chest so he could cuddle her close.
"It was tough having you distance yourself from me, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be."
He tangled one hand in her hair.
"Partly because I was too fucking stubborn to believe you when you said you didn't want me, didn't want us. But mostly because you were always right here."
He tapped a fisted hand against his heart. Silver propped her chin up on her hands, looked inside her mind. There it was, the primal bond that connected her to Valentian. It dared anyone in the Psi-Net to touch it, just dared. She hadn't thrown a shield around it this time, and following her lead, neither had Arwen. Silver had a feeling anyone who got too close would get a riled-up bear's welcome.
"I don't know where our bond was hiding all this time," she murmured, "but I have my suspicions."
The lazy-eyed bear who was now stroking her back all the way down to her buttocks and back up demanded a kiss. She gave it, demanded another one herself.
"The Psi-Net is alive in a way most people don't understand," she told him afterward.
"Of course it is."
Her bear rolled his eyes.
"All those brains in one big psychic network. If it wasn't going to become a sentience of its own in some way, what else was it going to do?"
Silver narrowed her own eyes and moved until they were nose to nose.
"You're much, much smarter than you like to make out, Mr. I.M.A. Medvezhonok."
Not that she hadn't known that from day one. Smiling at her in that smug, bare way, he fondled the side of her breast.
Tell me more about this sentience in your psi-net. What do you think it did?
I think the net mind and its more erratic twin, the dark mind, make decisions for the good of the entire network. The majority of Psi didn't know about the Netmind's dark twin, but Silver was a merchant. And, oh! She scrambled up to sit astride him. Hands firmly possessive around her hips, Valentian scowled at her.
Now my chest is cold. Aren't your pretty tits cold?
Focus. She glared at him, but her body missed his too, so she snuggled back down. I've just realized something.
What?
We know the Psi-net must need changeling energy too, even if at a lesser level than it needs humans. Their world had always been a triumvirate. But we've been thinking that means pulling others permanently into the Psi-net. She shook her head. There would have been Psi like me in the past. Psi who needed to remain in the Psi-net. I see it, Valisha. I see how it was meant to be. Excitement was a heated river inside her. Bonds across networks was once the norm. The energy can flow from one to the other. Valentian frowned.
I know I have a bond with my seconds and my healers that you'd probably see as a psychic network, but what about humans?
Humans fight and die for those they love, Silver whispered. Bowen Knight put his body in the path of a bullet to protect his sister, put a dangerous implant in his brain for the sake of his people. We've been so arrogant all this time, she said, furious with herself for falling into the same trap. We've assumed that because we can't see a human psychic network, that means it doesn't exist. Stupid when there's so much evidence that it does.
Fascinating.
She dug her nails lightly into the chest of the bear whose hands were lazily mapping her body. It is fascinating.
Not when you're naked and my cock is hard and I want to eat you up like candy.
A slow smile.
I missed you, Starlight. Come be with me.
Silver had no chance against this bear. Never had.
Something's happening.
Valentian said an hour later, while the two of them were lying sweaty and boneless in each other's arms.
There's a commotion in the cavern.
Silver got up with him, quickly pulling on clothes as he tugged on his jeans. Bare-chested, he took her hand, and the two of them walked out. Valentian froze partway to the cavern.
I can scent her,
he whispered, eyes wild.
My mom.
Good. I'm glad I didn't have to carry through my threat of stunning her with my telepathy and dragging her back to Denholm. Valentian's mouth fell open. She waited to see if he'd be angry at her interference, but he threw back his head and laughed that huge, generous laugh.
Silver fucking merchant!
A hard kiss, her body crushed to his.
Oh, she's going to be pissed at you for the next decade.
I don't care. It had never been about her. Only him. His expression when they walked into the cavern and he took in the dirty woman with long, tangled black hair who sat wrapped in a blanket. It was everything. Later, when he kissed Silver and kissed her and kissed her until she was drunk on him, she knew she'd do anything for him. Face down feral bears, face the chaos of emotions. Battle the world itself. I love you, Valisha.
I'll be your teddy bear any time, Starlight.
Taking her hand, he pressed it to the base beat of his heart.
It's yours. Forever and always.
Shadows. Akshay Patel's body was found in his study. The CEO dead of an apparently self-inflicted gunshot wound. Silver scanned the photos and report her grandmother had been able to gain from her enforcement contact, Valentian reading over her shoulder as she sat in the computer center of Denholm.
He didn't do that to himself.
Valentian's tone was definitive.
It's a picture-perfect scene, Silver said. That alone makes me doubt it, but why are you so sure?
Patel was a man used to power, but he bargained away his freedom for his children. Yet according to this, he shot himself while his children were home and the door to the study unlocked.
Silver nodded.
You're right.
No loving father would want his children to discover his mutilated body, the high-power projectile weapon having destroyed most of the back of his head.
Further to that, Akshay Patel might have been broken, but he was an intelligent man. I would have expected him to begin thinking about how he could somehow make the situation work to his family's advantage.
Consortium.
It makes the most sense.
She tapped her finger against the desk.
But it's far too soon for them to have known he was broken by my grandmother. We kept the information within a trusted and extremely small circle, and I'm certain Patel wouldn't have told anyone.
Too proud,
Valentian agreed.
Maybe the consortium never knew Patel had been turned.
He began to play with her hair, Silver having kept it down for him since they were in Denholm, where she didn't have to wear her armor.
Cracks might be appearing among the co-conspirators.
The psychological profiles of the kind of people who join a group like the consortium are also not those of people who do well in a group that requires long-term cooperation.
Arrogance, narcissism, control. They were the hallmarks of the consortium's higher echelons.
The ones we've run to ground have all been the heads of their family group or business empires, people used to making their own decisions.
Bear claws touched her neck, but she didn't flinch. Valentian would cut off his own hand before harming her. Sometimes the bear just rose to the surface and wanted to play. Reaching back from where she sat in the work chair, she ran her fingers along his thigh.
The person who created the consortium would have done better to reach out to people in my position.
You can't be bought, Silver.
No.
She gave her loyalty not for power or influence, but because it was deserved.
I meant people who are close to those in power, the seconds in command or the senior aides, the vice presidents. People with ambition, but who aren't yet used to being in charge. Collect the right personalities into a group, and the leader of the consortium could have had a stable and powerful network.
Instead, that person had gone for those at the top, believing they could control the vicious dogs she, if Akshay had been right in his deduction that the architect of it all was a woman, had brought into the mix.
I'm glad you're not on the side of evil,
Valentian said, rubbing his jaw against her cheek.
You'd make a deadly evil genius.
I will put that on my resume.
Laughing, her bear mate scooped her right out of the chair and threw her up before catching her snugly against his chest. She glared at him, though her lips wanted to curve at the joy on his face.
I am not a cub.
Grrr.
He pretended to bite her.
Valusha!
She pulled at his hair to get him to stop. He tickled her. And Silver laughed so hard that she snorted. Throwing her hands over her mouth at the inelegant sound, she found her eyes locked with those of a bear who was delighted with her. She dropped her hands, wrapped her arms around his neck, and kissed the life out of him.
Let's go or we'll be late.
Definitely can't be late for ice cream.
It was after their ice cream date, as they were walking through the fading light of Moscow, the air bitingly cold, that Silver updated Valentian on her search for information about his father, specifically whether Mikhail Nikolaev had been the subject of a terrible psi experiment.
I haven't yet discovered anything concrete, she said, but I'm following several data threads.
You're being careful.
She didn't chide him for his rumbling concern. Her mate was an alpha bear. He couldn't help being protective of those he loved. Neither could she.
Yes, she said. This data is old, that's why it's so difficult to unravel. I don't think there's any real risk of attracting dangerous attention, but I'm taking maximum precautions.
Good.
He ran his hand over her hair. A wild peacefulness to him, even as they discussed this emotionally wrought topic.
No information is worth your life.
Silver interlaced her fingers through his.
I know. But as you know, she added in a cool tone, I can be just slightly relentless in pursuit of a goal.
His chuckle was warmth wrapping around her, an acceptance so deep she knew nothing could ever shake it. Valentin Nikolaev saw every part of her, and he loved every part of her. Before he could speak, however, her phone lit up with a call from Lily Knight.
Beau is degrading, Lily told them, her face stark on the small screen, but her voice clear. The doctors are giving him days at most.
I'm very sorry, Lily.
Silver had a brother she loved. She knew Lily would be devastated by Beau's death, but the impact of his loss would spread far beyond the other woman. First and foremost, it would leave the Alliance with a huge power vacuum. The previous leadership had been swept away by Beau and his group when they came in fighting for the Alliance's future, and Beau hadn't had long enough to train a successor. The Alliance stood in real danger of collapsing right when it was needed most. Their world was a triad. It could not stand strong if one part of that triad was missing.
Is there any way Amnet can assist?
Their mandate was to offer help in all emergencies. To Silver's mind, this qualified.
Smoke and mirrors if you can, Lily said. Anything that'll keep the focus off the Alliance and off Beau.
Huge gray eyes met Valentian's.
If it all comes tumbling down, we may need a place to hide certain vulnerable people.
No need to ask, Lily,
Valentian said.
Stonewater will protect them.
We're standing on a precipice, Silver said after Lily signed off. His face grim, his fingers warm and rough around her own, Valentian spoke her concerns aloud.
Trinity, Amnet, your Psynet. It could all collapse if humans withdraw from the playing board.
Yes.
Humans needed Beau, needed the Alliance. Needed to know they had someone in their corner who'd protect them should the Psy or changelings become aggressive.
Right now, all we can do is give Lily what she's requested. Any ideas for the smoke and mirrors?
Her mate's eyes gleamed just as soft flakes of winter's first snowfall drifted out of the sky. A second later, she found herself bent over a Bear Alpha's powerful arm while his laughing mouth covered her own right there in the center of Moscow. The Moscow Daily Morning Edition broke download records the next day. The front page shouted, Silver Merchant with Alpha Nikolaev. Exclusive photos within. This concludes Silver Silence by Nalini Singh. Narrated by Angela Daw. Copyright 2017 by Nalini Singh. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Nalini Singh, care of the Knight Agency, and was produced in the year 2017 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.